Father, teach us to walk in your wisdom. Teach us to walk in understanding and knowledge. Father, in every area of our life, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So when things happen in our lives, and God's been challenging me in this area, when things happen, do I look at it as character development? When unexpected things happen and unexpected pressures come, do I allow God to expose things in me that need to change? How about you? Does that happen in your life? How are diamonds made? In the fire. How is gold refined? In fire. So if we look at things that happen around us and in our world, our first question is, God, what are you changing in me? What in me needs to change? What are you developing in me? Okay, so just leave that thought. Now I'll start in the book of James. In James chapter 1 and verse 5. James said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So when we need wisdom, we can go and ask God, I need wisdom in this area. But when I say the word wisdom, what does wisdom mean to you? Like, the Bible clearly defines wisdom. And I'm just going to break down what wisdom is. In James chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise and understanding among you? So what does wisdom look like? I'm going to go through several scriptures just to put a base here. Psalm 111:10. I'm going to give you a few scriptures. Those that are used to me preaching know that I give lots of scriptures. So you have to be nimble with your device or your fingers or whatever you're using. Psalm 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Good understanding have those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Blessed, praise be the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commands. So we see there that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So what is the fear of the Lord? There's one more scripture I'll give to back that up is Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what does wisdom look like? It's again another scripture, Psalm 34. How many, it's good to read scripture? Amen. Psalm 34, and you probably all know this. It says, in verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. In other words, provision comes to those that fear the Lord. Young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life, who loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. That's the fear of the Lord. Walking in righteousness and holiness, walking in peace, taking control of your tongue. It shows that when you speak, that you need to understand that we're speaking before God. Think about it. Whatever you say, God hears. The fear of the Lord will teach you to watch what you say. It'll teach you how to live. And now I'm going to go, I just wanted to give that as a base, and I'm going to go back into James 3 because it's all in James 3. And I'll carry on in James 3. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works were done in meekness of wisdom. So I just give you the base of wisdom. It says, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The same as in, it's said in Psalm 34. So if you look at the different wisdom in verse 15, it says there is an earthy wisdom. That's a natural wisdom. I heard a man that they say is one of the smartest men in the world. And he was speaking with his natural earthly wisdom. And he says he sees no evidence that there is a God. And I thought, that guy's not all that smart. Because the Bible says a fool in his heart says there is no God. But this is a man who, if I said his name, every one of you would know his name. He's told to be one of the wisest and smartest men in the world today. But he says there's no God. That's a natural wisdom. Okay? Because he can't see God in his realm, in his intellectual realm, or chooses not to. So there must not be a God. That's earthy wisdom. The next one is sensual wisdom. The sensual wisdom is wisdom of the five senses. I've been talking to an elderly gentleman about the things of God several times. The cord's too short. I can't run around. There we go. Well, I got a couple more feet. And he said, if I can't see God in my senses, there must be no God. This man was telling me he comes from a generational family of preachers. But he will not accept because he can't see God with his five senses. And he's an elderly man in this town. You all know him. But he can't touch God in the sensual realm, so there must be no God. How many know that's not very smart? Because there is a God. The difference between me and him is I choose to believe and he chooses not to believe. That's the difference. How many know when you believe, it opens the realm? When you choose not to believe, it closes. So from where he's sitting, choosing not to believe, he can't see or experience God. But he sits and tells me story of his life, and I can see God's blueprint on his life when he's telling me stories. That God has touched him time and time again. But because he chooses to walk in fleshly wisdom, he's cut himself off from God. I'm not done with them. We'll have some more chats. The next one is demonic wisdom. How many remember in the Garden of Eden? Satan says, eat this fruit, it'll make you wise. How many know that's demonic wisdom? And it unleashed hell on earth. And we can choose in our lives to walk in all these different, and I have in every one of them at some point. But God is challenging me to walk in godly wisdom. And if you look at these verses, I'll just back up again before I get into the godly wisdom. It says, if you have bitter envy or self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing. And as I took a look at this, and if you look at, It is a doorway of hell into a home, into a church, into your workplace. Satan is looking to bring strife and division and self-seeking and envy because it gives him a doorway into who you are. You allow strife and division in a home, what do you got? You allow it into a church, what do you got? In a workplace, what do you have? The Bible says a quiet answer turns away the wrath. Okay? How you respond in situations, either escalate it or de-escalate it. If we're the body and we're in His image, how many know that's what we should be every place we go? We should be functioning in godly wisdom. And you know what? If we make mistakes, guess what? We're in the day of grace, we repent. But godly wisdom, it operates, and I'll just go ahead to it for a minute here, where the wisdom that is from above is first pure. God is holy. He's pure. He's righteous. Do we let that be the underlying motive of our life? Do we allow Him to pour that through us? Is it peaceable? Are we a peacemaker? The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom. Do we bring peace onto a scene? Do we allow the peace of God to flow through us and around us, or do we react to situations? We've all reacted to different situations. Repent, go on. Allow the peace of God to flow through you. Allow it to de-escalate whatever's going on around you. Whether it's wherever you are. It's gentle. God is gentle. It's willing to yield. Do you have to win every argument?
Yes is the answer.
Or do you just let it? You know what? You aren't going to change some people. You don't have to win that argument. Okay? You can be it. How many of you know it's okay to have different opinions? Okay? You may both be wrong. I've been wrong a couple times, my wife told me. She said she's only been wrong once. Because I had to forgive her for the last time, so it's gone. Isn't that true? Do we walk in forgiveness? Okay. We don't bring up and dig up the past, right? If you've forgiven it, she's right. This is the first time I've done this to you. Because you've forgiven me for the last time. Okay? Love suffers long. It keeps no record of wrongs. Okay? I'm not looking at you. You just happen to be sitting beside my wife. Okay? Love suffers long, and it is kind. See, God is love. He is wisdom. But if you break down this verse of James 3:16, it conveys interesting things. The word envy, if you study it in the Greek, it means a fierce desire to promote your own agenda. Quite a word, isn't it? The word strife is in the Greek is a political term. Looking to win people to your particular agenda. And actually, if you read it in the Greek, and this is out of a commentary, you can all go look it up. This is James 3:16, written in the Greek, and they just broke it down. It says this: for where there is a fierce desire to promote one's own ideas and convictions to the exclusion of everyone else's, it produces divisions so great, people end up taking sides, forming different parties with conflicting agendas. This is a terrible event because it creates great unrest among people who should be united. Ultimately, the whole situation becomes a stinking mess. Out of a commentary on James. How many know that's from operating in demonic and earthy wisdom? Not from operating in godly wisdom. Do we choose to operate in godly wisdom? Do we allow the wisdom of God to flow through us to touch those around us? Art read in Colossians, he didn't know I was preaching on wisdom this morning. He ended up with the word wisdom. God was saying he wants us to walk in wisdom. See, other people's opinions count. May not be the same as yours, but they may not be wrong either. All right? Let's learn to walk in wisdom. One thing that God taught me, how many know we learn, I can tell you about God, but until you personally experience God, there's going to be no change really in your life. How many know we need to personally experience God in our lives? And if we personally experience God, then things will change in our lives. So one time, I was going through a tough time, and I was praying, God, what's going on? I was working hard, and I was tithing and giving, but it just seemed like everything was a struggle in my life. It was quite a few years ago. There was always a struggle. And I went in the bush, and I prayed, and was talking to God. And how many know when you ask God a question, sometimes he speaks to you? I said, God, what's wrong? And he said, you're selfish. That's this verse. When we're selfish or self-seeking, it opens the door into our lives that we don't want open. And I repented that day. I said, God, forgive me. And from that day on, I always had enough. It opened just like it says in Psalm 34. It opens God's blessing into your life. It opens the door. So if you're always struggling in that area or struggling in areas, ask God. How many know he'll tell you? He'll show you because he's good. He'll show you what he's dealing with in your life. He'll show you what needs to change. And he's good. He loves me. If he loves me, he loves you. Even in all our stumbles and all our faults and all our... God loves us. Isn't that amazing? If we tend to look at ourselves at times, we think, how could anybody love me? But God does. He loves me. Will we allow the love of God to flow through us? Will we walk in wisdom to those around about us? I'm going to show you God's nature, and you all know these scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you all know these. And this is wisdom. I'm not going to go there, but if you go back and read that whole chapter of James chapter 3, the emphasis is on us. What do we allow to come out of our mouth? What do we allow to flow through us? Are we reacting to situations and challenges instead of acting? When I was younger, I was pretty hot-headed. And more often than not, reacted to situations instead of acting. And one day, something happened and I got angry and I told God, I said, from this day forward, I'm never going to do that again. And I never have. How many know God can change you? In an instant, He can change who you are. And He did that day. And these were the scriptures that God had me meditate. And in verse 3 of 13, it says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. How many know there's a lot of religious endeavors that we can do that don't have a lot of profit to them? Okay? It says, love suffers long and is kind. How many know it's wisdom to walk in the love of God? It's wisdom to be kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. God challenges us. How many know the Bible says pride goes before destruction? How many know our old nature wants to be right? It wants to be at the forefront. It wants to... Is it just me? Or do you guys do that too? But how many know as long as you're in this body, you're going to be battling with that old nature? Okay? We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. That old nature still tries to do its thing. But that's not who I am anymore. Okay? That's not me. Satan keeps trying to put that identity on me, but that's not who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ. It's wisdom to know who I am. Sometimes we forget, right? We allow that stuff. See, love doesn't behave rudely. How many know it's wise not to be rude? A few people agree. And this is the big one. It doesn't seek its own. Love is not self-seeking. Do you realize God's not self-seeking? He's looking to lift us up and raise us up. He's looking for us to walk in His wisdom. God is looking for us. He wants you to fulfill your destiny in life. He wants all these young people to fulfill God's destiny and purpose He has for them. God is for you. I know when I was young growing up, I was raised in kind of a very legalistic church. And I always thought God was out to get me if I did something wrong. But God is for me. Doesn't mean He doesn't correct me and rebuke me. The Bible says He rebukes and corrects the son He loves. If you haven't been rebuked and corrected by God, then maybe you're not a son or daughter. But He rebukes and corrects me because He loves me, and it's for my own good. Okay? It's wisdom to take God's correction. It's wisdom, even though we don't like it, to take correction from others. How many know it's easy to look at where the correction is coming from and think, who are you to tell me that? How many know God spoke through a donkey one time? He had to get a prophet's attention. So watch who God's speaking to you. It's not provoked.
Do I allow people to provoke me? How many know it's wise not to be provoked? To allow people to provoke. I say, God, why is this happening? It's usually because something in me needs to change, not them. God may be using that, or it may be totally unrelated. But will I walk in the love of God? Or will I respond? Very often, it's a challenge. He thinks no evil. The Bible says that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, may they be pleasing in your sight. I mean, oh, God knows what we're thinking. Will we allow his wisdom? Or will we take authority over that thought life and say, no, I'm not thinking this way. I'm not doing this. I found years ago when I was a kid, I grew up on a farm, and I'd be running the old John Deere tractors, you know, the old two-lungers, putt, putt, putt down the field. And it'd be out in the hot sun. There's no such thing as a cab when I was a kid. I mean, the creature comforts the farmers got now. I mean, that was just daydreams back then. I remember when I was a kid growing up, this buddy of mine lived on a farm down the road, and he said, when I get old, I'm going to be a big farmer, and I'm going to have tractors and combines that lead themselves around the field. Hey, guys, we're there. I got to run a tractor for a guy a few years ago that had GPS, and I was disking with this big disc. That thing could go a lot straighter than me. I was amazed at how that worked. And I remembered my buddy when we were kids saying one day he was going to have a farm machinery that would do that. So anyway, I'd run these old tractors, and it would be hot in the summertime in southern Alberta. And I found if I licked my lips, they would start to chap. But I found as a child, I was just young. Like, I was running tractors 8, 9, 10 years old. That's the way we did it back when we were kids. It's amazing. I'd never let my kids do what I did. And I found if I wouldn't think about it, my lips wouldn't bother me. Even as a kid. See, if someone hurts you and you think about it, guess what's coming next? You're going to get mad. You're going to retaliate. Because you've been thinking about it. But if you think of God's blessing and God's mercy and God's grace, guess what? You won't have that reaction to them the next time you see them. You'll think, hey, they're God's kid. Or they're maybe not a Christian. But how can I respond to them? How many know we're all growing and learning? Years ago, I don't know if you've heard of Bill Bright and Basic Youth Conflicts. It was a ministry years ago, and they give out buttons. Please be patient with me. God is not finished yet. How many know we're all a work in progress? Will we choose to allow God's love to flow through us? It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. Okay? But rejoices in the truth. My son Dane works at a mill in Grand Prairie, and he got called in the office because there's too much Christian talk going on in the lunchroom. It's kind of funny because he said to them, he says, I talk with my friends, but it offends some of them. And he told the boss, their dirty stories and jokes offend me. But I'm not up here complaining to you. I didn't have nothing to say. How many know the light exposes darkness? Okay? It doesn't enjoy iniquity. It doesn't enjoy sin. It doesn't enjoy dirty stories. You just yuck, right? Just want to get away from it. That's what love, that's what God does in you. I remember years ago, when I first was filled with the Holy Spirit, I walked into this place of business. And the church I was going to at the time, the man owned that business. They went to the same church as I went to. And I walked in there, and he said something, and he took God's name in vain. And it was just like he stabbed me in the heart. That's how God feels. Why do you think Satan gets people to talk that way? How many know it's wise not to talk that way? Okay? See? He bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Do you understand that God believes you're going to make it? He hopes and endures. Didn't Jesus die on the cross looking forward with hope and endurance, knowing you were going to be here today? Well, how do we respond to others? Do we look at it that same way? Do we endure and stand our ground knowing that God is working in the situation? Or do we allow our defense mechanisms to rise up and we got to defend ourselves and we have rights? You know what right you got? You got a right to be like Jesus. Our old nature wants to defend itself. I'm not talking about if somebody is physically assaulting your kid and you don't stop them. I'm talking about persecution or words spoken against you. How many know if you're going to walk with Jesus, that's coming? But gold is refined by fire. Okay? That's who you are. God loves you. Okay? It says, love never fails. How many know it's wisdom to walk in the love of God? In another place in 2 Corinthians, it says, let the love of God compel or propel you. Let it be your motivation. Let us not react. Let us act. Let us look at other people's opinions that may not be the same as yours. How many know if you're married, you got two opinions in the house usually? Right? But how many know you can still walk in love and unity? My wife may be right sometimes. I may be right sometimes. Probably less than her, but how many you know it's wisdom to listen and to allow God's love and mercy to flow through us. So this morning, I just feel challenged to walk in the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is walking in purity and holiness. That's the definition of wisdom. I read it to you a bit ago. It's wisdom to watch what we say. It's wisdom to watch what we do. It's a wisdom to allow God's character to be developed in us through situations we face every day. Will we allow that wisdom and God's wisdom to flow through us? Will we recognize fleshly and earthly wisdom? Imagine if Eve had recognized the demonic wisdom in the garden. What a different world we'd be living in. Let's pray. Father, I just ask as this word goes forth, Father, that we will choose to walk in wisdom. Father, we will choose to walk in holiness and purity. Father, we will choose to watch our tongues. Father, we will choose not to let self or selfish ambition or envy and strife be part of our homes, our families, our churches, wherever we work. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, help me to walk in godly wisdom each day. Help me to release godly wisdom to those around us, to not to react to situations, but to act on situations. Father, I ask in Jesus' name, amen.